Welcome to Behind the Great Wall on the SOH Network. I'm Daniel Tang. The China we know today is a leading world power. But behind its influence, behind its wealth, and behind its political power stands the Chinese people, who in modern times face a range of social, political, and economic issues. On Behind the Great Wall, our team of SOH reporters in China brings you their voices and their stories. In this episode, petitioners show no sympathy for the dwindling power of police chief Zhou Yongkang, and China's princelings, or the red nobility, back in the spotlight. But first, on the first of 50 nights that Chinese human rights attorney Gao Zhisheng endured torture at the hands of his captors, he was told, "Today, your uncle wants nothing more but to make you suffer worse than death. I tell you the truth, your matter is not just between you and the government." This chilling account of his ordeal was revealed in a letter he published in 2009. The uncle the captor alluded to is believed to be Zhou Yongkang, the head of the powerful Political and Legislative Affairs Committee, the PLAC. Zhou is also a member of the 9-person Politburo Standing Committee, which has ultimate control over the Chinese Communist Party. But what links Zhou Yongkang and Gao Zhisheng together is the persecution of the Falun Gong Meditation Group. Zhou was one of the main enforcers of the persecution, while Gao, on the other hand, fought and campaigned for the rights of Falun Gong practitioners. Now, several years after Gao's first prison ordeal, Gao and Zhou's names are linked once again. A March 24th visit by two of Gao's family members to the remote Shaya prison in Xinjiang province seems to suggest that Zhou's political fortunes are plummeting and his once ironclad control is fading. Mia Chen with this story.
Gao Zhisheng has been called the conscience of China for his legal work defending the less fortunate and those who have experienced human rights abuse. He was captured and tortured for several months at an unknown location near Beijing because of his investigation into the prosecution of Falun Gong practitioners. In 2004, Gao published an open letter to the National People's Congress calling for Falun Gong practitioners to be treated according to the law. In 2005, he followed that up with two open letters to Party Chief Hu Jintao and Premier Wen Jiabao, also calling for an end to the persecution. In response, the authorities handed Gao a 3-year prison term, December 2006. He was later released on a 5-year probation. But during his release, Gao was abused and sometimes abducted by authorities. In September 2007, Gao wrote an open letter to the US Congress calling for an end to the persecution of Falun Gong. In September 2007, it was revealed that Gao's torturers stated his abuse was in response to him writing that letter. With an enemy as powerful as Zhou Yongkang, who is heavily involved with the persecution, Gao was assured no leniency. From March 10, 2010, there was no sign of Gao and he was feared dead. Gao's wife, Geng He, believes the authorities recently allowed Gao's father-in-law and brother to visit him because of a change in the political climate in China. Gao Zhisheng's brother, Gao Zhiyi, has traveled 3 times from their hometown in Shanxi province, 750 miles to Beijing looking for any news of Gao Zhisheng. He had no success. Geng He says their family has been keeping an eye on the current political situation, looking for any chance to help Gao. They believe things may now be different. Gao Zhiyi made his 4th trip to Beijing on February 24th. This time, the family was given hope. "The answer from Beijing was different from what we got before," Geng He said. "They asked us to go back and wait and said they would arrange it. In the middle of March, my family was informed they could travel to Xinjiang to see him." On March 15, Bo Xilai, the former head of the mega-city Chongqing, was sacked and later rumored to be under house arrest. On the same day, Gao Zhisheng's family were told they could arrange a visit to see Gao. This is one of several signs that the once powerful Zhou Yongkang's power is crumbling. Bo Xilai was a firm ally of Zhou and had been handpicked to succeed him in heading the Political and Legislative Affairs Committee, as well as being part of the all-powerful Politburo Standing Committee. The firing and possible arrest of Bo could only be achieved by ignoring Zhou's objections. Further, the internet in China is no longer under the same rigid censorship as before. Since around March 23, people have been able to search sensitive words which were forbidden under the former president Jiang Zemin, including June 4th, the date of the Tiananmen Square massacre, Zhuan Fa Lun, the main text of the spiritual practice Falun Gong, Shen Yun, the name of the performing arts company devoted to reviving traditional Chinese culture, and terms related to the live organ harvesting, an atrocity committed against the Falun Gong practitioners. On March 21st, a training session for the party secretaries who run the political and legislative committee was suddenly announced by the state-run media. There is no sign Zhou knew of the meeting in advance, and the announcement did not mention him, although it did mention the session would be devoted to the study of the current president's ideology. China expert says the training isolates Zhou and puts the PLAC secretaries under the control of the party central, weakening Zhou's power. Gao Zhisheng's family is now hoping the prison visit will open the door for Gao's case to be reconsidered. Gao's family has hired two lawyers and plans to appeal for his case in May. Mia Chen of SOH Network.
You are listening to Behind the Great Wall on the SOH Network. I'm Daniel Tang. Following former Chongqing Party chief Bo Xilai's sudden downfall over the past few weeks, Zhou Yongkang has become the new focus of rival political factions within the Communist Party. On March 21st, the British Financial Times quoted a close contact of China's security agencies, who said Zhou was now, to some extent, under control. There are growing signs in recent times that current President Hu Jintao and Premier Wen Jiabao are moving swiftly to undermine Zhou's power base and to slowly back him into a corner. SOH spoke with several petitioners on their thoughts regarding the current situation of Zhou Yongkang.
The Political and Legislative Affairs Committee is one of the most powerful state organs in the CCP. It has command over police, public security, the prison system, and is a power base for current standing member Zhou Yongkang. The PLAC actually exists outside the framework of China's legal system and is not bound by regulations or civil law. Further, it has no website, contact details, or office where complaints can be made. Since 1999, Zhou Yongkang has used the PLAC to target dissidents and, most famously, Falun Gong practitioners. Many of the actions committed by the PLAC have involved human rights violations, and Zhou's current loss of power has drawn no sympathy from Chinese people. Ms. Li, a petitioner in Beijing, says all petitioners hate Zhou Yongkang and will have no sympathy for him. People will not forgive him, even if he's sentenced to death. In Beijing, on the street, is public security. On August 31st, we were sleeping under a bridge, and security came and bundled petitioners into a vehicle. They were taken to Jiujing Farmstead. I said they were breaking the law. He said, if Hu Jintao and Wen Jiabao let you live, you will live. If they don't want you to live, you die. After hearing that, he hated Hu and Wen. But this was just a setup for Zhou Yongkang. We all hate him. Zhou arrests people and sends them to Jiujing Farmstead. There's an even bigger black prison in Beijing. Now all petitioners say Hu Jintao and Wen Jiabao are good men. Ms. Li says liaison offices in Beijing are known as injury offices. As petitioners are seized by the offices in Beijing and sent to Jiujing Farmstead, where some may be beaten to death, some people have had their legs or shoulders broken. Gong Lei, a freelance writer, once worked in a government department in Shandong province. He claims the fall of Zhou Yongkang is a very encouraging event. This is very encouraging because the PLAC committed all kinds of evil and turned China into a police state. They were above the law. Their power was above the law. The suppression of Falun Gong, extreme measures against dissidents, re-education through labor, his conduct and deeds are an outrage. Trampling the law and basic rights all were trampled by his PLAC. Liao Cheng, a Heilongjiang-based economist and freelance writer, says Zhou Yongkang has committed too many crimes. Of course, it is a good thing. He belongs to the Jiang Zemin's faction, On one hand, he persecutes Falun Gong, and on the other hand, he suppresses dissidents and democracy activists. His sins are too numerous to mention and cannot be overstated. Mr. Chen from Shanghai said if Zhou Yongkang is accused, he will be found guilty and punished. The PLAC illegally arrests petitioners. They don't talk about the law. With his arrest or detention, he deserves this. If a person does too many bad things, he must meet retribution, correct? Liao Cheng believes the Communist Party will likely collapse overnight. The degree of chaos in Chinese society is well known, and all people know. To continue like this will be a great injustice to the Chinese people. Zhou Yongkang and Bo Xilai are shameless. I believe this is an opportunity for Hu Jintao. Authoritarian states look strong and solid. Internally, the struggle is very messy. It could collapse overnight, just like the Soviet Union. Rich Crankshaw, SOH Network.
In our last story, China's red nobility, or princelings, are known for being young, extravagant, enjoying the very best that life has to offer, and of course, being the sons and daughters of China's most powerful officials. Dr. Li Shutong, professor of nuclear and radiation safety at the Department of Environmental Protection, said in an interview that corruption and political power is letting the children of communist officials indulge in lives of luxury. Some of the most famous red nobility include Bo Guagua, Zhou Bin, and Zheng Wei, who are the respective sons of Bo Xilai, Zhou Yongkang, and Zheng Qinhong, all major Communist Party figures. This has raised major concerns as to where all the money to support the lifestyle of these princelings is coming from. Craig Richter with more.
Before Bo Xilai was dismissed from his position in Chongqing, he said his son Bo Guagua studied at the prestigious Harrow School in England on a full scholarship. But according to the Hong Kong Economic Journal, Harrow does not offer full scholarships. In 2010, tuition fees at Harrow were almost 30,000 British pounds, which is about 300,000 Chinese yuan. The younger Bo soon moved on to Oxford University and now studies at Harvard University. Which begs the question, where does Bo Xilai get all the money to foot his son's extraordinary education bill? On November 26, 2011, The Wall Street Journal reported that Bo Guagua had gone to a dinner banquet in a red Ferrari with the daughter of John Huntsman, former US ambassador to China. The privileged lives of the China's red nobility continues to draw criticism, especially when China has one of the world's biggest rich-poor income gaps. Dr. Li Shitong says, when Bo Xilai was in Dalian and Chongqing, the assets of private entrepreneurs were seized, adding up to hundreds of billions of Chinese yuan. Shandong Luneng, a state-owned enterprise worth 70 billion yuan, was sold for a few hundred million yuan. The person behind the sale was the son of Sheng Qinghong. Where does the wealth go? It's obviously going to elite and privileged Chinese communist officials. Ordinary people don't get anything. There are many examples of nepotism and extravagant spending for the sons and daughters of communist officials. According to a January 8, 2007 edition of finance magazine, Chai Jing, the change in ownership of energy giant Shandong Luneng Group is a major example. Sheng Wei, the son of former Chinese President Zhang Qihong, along with his friend Zhao Jiushi, paid just 3.73 billion yuan for 90% ownership of the company, which at that time was worth 73.8 billion yuan. That's 12.4 billion US dollars. Australia's Sydney Morning Herald newspaper reported on April 24, 2010, that Zheng Wei spent 32.4 million Australian dollars to buy a mansion in Sydney in 2008. He was granted an immigration visa based on this investment. Chinese people may feel corruption and nepotism among party officials has gotten much worse today compared to the past. But Dr. Li believes officials during Mao Zedong's era were just as bad. In Mao's era, the corruption was just as bad. For example, the average worker made about 18 yuan a month, and a person with over 10 years of work experience would make about 20 to 40 yuan a month to support the family. But at that time, Mao received 200 million yuan in royalties for his books. That's equivalent to 20 billion yuan today. Mao also built palaces for himself all over China, which was unknown to most people. Mao ordered a rail line be constructed from Beijing to the coastal city of Beidaihe in Hubei province, just so he could go swimming. Corruption in the past was no less than what it is today. Zhou Bin, son of Zhou Yangkang, has also been involved in a series of dodgy ventures, including his involvement with PetroChina, extortion, government land sales, and money for power trades. In June 2011, Li Yuan, former Deputy Minister of State Land and Resources, was disciplined for his illegal conduct. Li was a conspirator with Zhou Bin. Craig Richter, SOH Network.
And that brings an end to Behind the Great Wall for this week. If you'd like to listen or download our podcast, you can visit behindthegreatwall.sohnetwork.com. There you can also read our transcript, listen to previous episodes, and link to other programs on the SOH Network. Also, if you have any comments or queries, feel free to leave a message on our main website. That's Behind the Great Wall for April 2nd, 2012. And I'm Daniel Teng of the SOH Network.